Residents and business owners of quake-damaged properties just south of Kaikoura are questioning why their homes remain red-stickered when the railway line behind them will be operational again in just a few weeks. Today marks 2 years since Kaikoura was hit by a 7.8 magnitude quake. But while many in the district are trying to move on with their lives, some just can't. It's not their fault. Decisions by local and central authorities force them to stay away from their quake-damaged homes, and businesses due to the danger posed by steep cliffs, I'll try that again, and rockfall. So how is Kiwi Rail able to operate a passenger service directly behind their homes and the cliff? Our South Island video journalist Logan Church picks up the story from a seemingly abandoned motel at the side of State Highway 1.
I'd just gone to bed, Emiko was still watching TV, and the earthquake hit, and I tried to get out of bed and find my leg, because I have a prosthesis, and the power had gone out, so I was grappling around in the dark, finally found it, and we managed to get out of the motel and up onto the railway line at the back of our place.
That's Sam Leary. He and his wife Emiko owned the Ocean View Motel, about half an hour south of Kaikoura. They've owned this slice of paradise for 18 years. It sits in front of the coastline, and the view is simply breathtaking.
It was a very special place, and a great place to go fishing from.
And a great view, of course, that ocean view. Summertime is every day that we can see the dolphins, hundreds of dolphins, just there.
But no one's checked in here since the quake. It's now locked up, slowly being consumed by Mother Nature. Sam and Emiko are not allowed to step foot inside the building.
We haven't been able to run the motels for the last 2 years, and we've been red carded since almost immediately after the earthquake. So we're now awaiting a decision from council as regards the Section 124 red card.
Sam doesn't criticise the council for this, unlike other residents Checkpoint spoken to. More on the council response soon. But here's the problem. Behind the four-room motel is a massive cliff. You can see big cracks at the top. The motel's back garden is littered with massive boulders that came down that cliff during the earthquake. Their buildings were mercifully spared from the rain of boulders. Sam and Emiko's neighbour, Kevin McQuillan, of Para Rocks Cafe and Bar, is in a similar boat, and he's found delays in finding a way forward soul-destroying.
They tell us, you'll get a decision in May, when May comes. Oh, you'll get a decision in June. And it just goes on and on and on, and there's nothing. And then they rang me up a few weeks ago, the council member asked me how I was. Mm. Wow. She found out how I was.
The government's given the local council $1.5 million to find a solution for 15 properties like these. Sam thinks that's chump change.
They've got their hands on the purse, that they can make it a lot easier for the small council like this. And this problem is going to crop up again throughout New Zealand. There's no question about it.
But what makes these properties unique is that between the motel buildings that the council deemed unsafe and that cliff, which the council says has a very high risk of rockfall, is the main rail line. And passenger trains will be using it from the start of December.
One rock came down, smashed the post as part of the fence, and ended up on the rail line, which we understood was then struck by a train after that. The fence post has been replaced, and it's obvious where it's been, but nothing's been heard of it.
When was that?
That was
July.
Around about July.
This year.
Yeah.
So stuff was still coming down off the hill in July.
Yes. Mm. Certainly it's a danger to us, but I'm personally more concerned about the international effect if we had a bad accident with a train full of tourists, and that would demolish all the promotion work that Kaikoura has been doing and doing very well.
They say they tried to tell Kiwi Rail about it.
It was extremely difficult. Extremely.
In what way?
Well, we got onto the phone, and then we'd get passed on to somebody else and passed on to somebody else and passed on to somebody else, and then we'd get background music and this sort of carry on, and in the end we just said, oh.
I spoke to Kiwi Rail's Investments Planning and Risk General Manager David Gordon about this issue. The big question, is that section of the line safe?
We take the view that we don't run the trains unless it's safe, and if we genuinely believed that through a combination of our engineering and the safety systems and all the rest, there was still a significant risk to the safety of people either operating our trains or travelling on our trains, we wouldn't be operating through there. We are confident that the combination of safety things we have in place provide for the safe travel of people. Well, put another way, I would absolutely travel on one of those trains, and I'm really looking forward to doing so.
I also asked about that July incident Sam talked about earlier.
I've got no knowledge of that, but I will test again. I mean, I have no doubt that where we've got tripwires, it's there because the slope is, you know, slightly unstable, therefore you will get stuff hitting it. If you've got a train can hit a tiny bit of piece of rock. I mean, the train is always going to win that. It's not as if it's going to come off the lines for that.
We asked the ministers that have seemed to have taken responsibility for land hazard issues, Megan Woods, Nanai Mahuta and Chris Farfoy, for an interview again. We have made repeated requests over the last few months. That was, again, declined or ignored, with the exception of a brief statement from Ms. Mahuta's office, which didn't add anything new and did not answer any allegations we've put to them. They say they are waiting for the council to decide what it's going to do. The predicament all 15 property owners are in is tricky. Every resident Checkpoint spoken to with a red-stickered property wants to be paid out in full. The $1.5 million the government gave the council to find a way through is not enough to do that, not even close. The council's chief executive, Angela Oosthuizen, gave me an update as to where the council is at.
At the last council meeting, we were anticipating that we would table a report. Unfortunately, that report has been delayed, as I said, and we are anticipating that report will be brought to council in December at some point. So Crown has given us $1.5 million, and I guess what we're working through is how we then share that funding equitably amongst the property owners while taking the risks into account.
Why was that report delayed?
It was delayed because we, as I said, we're still working through the policy and we're still working through the criteria. And, of course, we're still working with the various governmental agencies that are providing support to us in this area. So the process does take long. It is complex and it has taken longer than what we envisaged it was going to be.
But as another earthquake anniversary comes around, for some people, that devastating earthquake might as well have happened yesterday.
Personally, I don't really want to come back onto this property again.
Me too.
To me, it appears to be just a gigantic pile of shattered rocks that could go in any direction.